Scripture reveals in the book of Romans, chapter 1, chapter 16, that faith leads to obedience, the obedience of faith, that genuine faith in Jesus Christ, that faith comes from hearing and hearing from the word of Christ, believing what God has revealed in his word, walking with him in that context leads to obedience.
Thanks for joining us for this Monday edition of Equipping the Saints, featuring the Bible teaching of Greg Lundstedt, pastor of Equipping Bible Church in Greer, South Carolina. Greg, in today's broadcast, we continue our series in the book of Ezekiel.
Yes, Dave, and today we're going to begin to see what biblical obedience looks like after a little bit of review in our study of Ezekiel. So let's turn together to Ezekiel chapter 2, and we're beginning in verse 8.
Well, thanks, Greg. Now, if you want to listen to today's broadcast again, just download our new free app from the Apple App Store. You'll find today's broadcast, archived broadcasts, as well as more about this ministry and our teacher, Pastor Greg Lundstedt. Now, let's join Greg for today's message.
Now, if you were to go do a survey of everyone out there this morning that went to church, you'd find there's quite a large portion of churches in which people feel like they need to go sacrifice for the Lord. They need to do things for the Lord. It's almost as if that's their entire relationship, what they do for God. And unfortunately, many of these churches in which they're doing stuff for God, they're riddled with disobedience. There are clear passages in Scripture that are being disobeyed while people come and serve the Lord, quote unquote. Why people come and sacrifice for him. But if you've come to the knowledge of Jesus Christ through faith, Scripture makes it clear that God desires obedience rather than sacrifice. It's not that we don't sacrifice. He's saying he desires obedience rather than us doing whatever it might be religiously. We're going to see that obedience is key to our walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. In Luke chapter 6, the Lord Jesus says, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I say?" That's a good question for all of us. If we're disobeying God, why would we call him Lord? And for those who are continually doing religious things but yet disobeying him, why would you call him Lord? We know what Samuel shares the Lord when he shares the Lord's words to Saul. He said, "Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice." Now, Scripture reveals in the book of Romans, chapter 1, chapter 16, that faith leads to obedience, the obedience of faith, that genuine faith in Jesus Christ, that faith comes from hearing and hearing from the word of Christ, believing what God has revealed in his word, walking with him in that context leads to obedience. But you might be saying, what does biblical obedience look like? Well, today we're going to see that in our second portion of Ezekiel's call. So would you turn your Bibles with me to Ezekiel chapter 2, and we're going to be looking at verses 8 through 3:15 today, okay? Now remember, the Israelites were warned when they were entering the land through Moses and Deuteronomy by the Lord that if they disobeyed, Deuteronomy 28, they would be expelled from the land violently. And God, for many, many years through the prophets, warned Israel of their unbelief. They weren't listening to him, as we'll see. They weren't obeying him. And finally, in 722 B.C., the Lord had the northern kingdom expelled by Assyria. And then we see in 605 B.C., Nebuchadnezzar puts the first siege on Jerusalem. It's during that time that Daniel and his friends are taken to Babylon, and Ezekiel is still in Jerusalem. Then in 597 B.C., Jerusalem sieged again. 2 Kings 24, and 10,000 Jews were taken captive to Babylon. That's the exile that Ezekiel was taken in. And then we saw in chapter 1, 5 years later, Ezekiel begins his ministry at the age of 30, as the Lord calls him. We're going to see that today as the Lord is calling Ezekiel unto himself to share his word. Then in 588 to 586 BC, for 18 months, we have the third siege of Jerusalem, which ends in the destruction of the temple, the city destroyed, and the final exile with many slaughtered. Now, there were three deportations, 605, 597, and 586. And the book of Ezekiel, as I've mentioned every time, is centered around this third and final 18-month siege. The first 24 chapters are oracles or prophecies leading up to the siege. Chapters 25 through 32 are basically prophecies during that 18-month siege. And then chapters 33 to 48 are prophecies after the fall of Jerusalem. Now, Ezekiel is prophesying to a captive people concerning the sins of those who are to be judged by God in an awful siege, in which many would be killed and the remaining would be brutally taken captive from Judah to Babylon. And yet the amazing thing is, as we see in Jeremiah, is those in Jerusalem are still listening to the voices of false assurance, peace and safety. You're going to be delivered from Babylon in 2 years. The false prophets saying it's not going to happen, contradicting God's word. Those whom God did not send, because Jeremiah 20, if he did send them, it would have spoke his words and turned his people from their sin. And so they're listening to this. But this also, this false assurance had spread to the exiles. And so we have Ezekiel here in chapter 1. We saw that his ministry began with an incredible vision, right? Visions of God, it says, right? And we saw he was in exile on the river Shabar, and he sees a great storm coming from the north, signifying judgment, as we've seen, a storm with flashing fire and glowing metal on the inside. And remember, in his visions of God, he saw the four cherubim, each with four wings and four faces, moving without turning, absolutely sovereign in the direction God leads them, and the coals of fire as they darted about like lightning. And between the cherubim were four wheels full of eyes that went up and down from the earth when the Spirit led and moved the cherubim. And above these angelic beams, these cherubim, who immediately and faithfully carried out God's will, was an expanse like crystal, like glass. This is chapter 1. And above the expanse, we saw there was one on the throne as of appearance of a man. And we looked at that and we saw it was God the Son, the pre-incarnate appearance of God the Son. Do you remember the point of the vision? God's on the throne. God's on the throne. More specifically, he reigns over all and he is sovereign over the judgment that is coming upon Judah and Jerusalem. He is sovereign over it. And yet, we saw his glory. We saw his compassion, like a rainbow, right? That was pictured like that. That God is faithful and merciful, even in the midst of judgment. Faithful, merciful God. And so, Ezekiel falls down on his knees to worship. And then he heard a voice speaking. And then last week, we had the Lord speaking to him as the Spirit lifted him up. There's a time to bow down. There's a time to get up and listen to the Lord. And the Spirit lifted him up. And we see within that, and he is commanded by the Lord concerning what he is going to do. And that's what we're going to review and look at today, what portion that comes after what we saw last week. Again, last week we saw that the call consists of, first of all, listening to God's word. You got to hear it. Then going where he sends, and then speaking what he says without fear. That's what those first 7 verses are about that we saw last week. Listen to God's word, go where he sends you, and speak what he says without fear. And now the Lord is going to continue this call. It hadn't stopped. We stopped because we ran out of time, but it hadn't stopped. So we're going to come in verse 8, chapter 2 of Ezekiel, verse 8. And now you, son of man, listen to what I am speaking to you. Do not be rebellious like that rebellious house. Open your mouth and eat what I am giving you. Then I looked, behold, a hand was extended to me, and lo, a scroll was in it. When he spread it out before me, it was written on the front and back, and written on it were lamentations, mourning, and woe. Chapter 3, then he said to me, son of man, eat what you find, eat this scroll, and go and speak to the house of Israel. So I opened my mouth, and he fed me this scroll. And he said to me, son of man, feed your stomach and fill your body with this scroll which I am giving you. Then I ate it, and it was sweet as honey in my mouth. Then he said to me, son of man, go to the house of Israel and speak my words to them. For you are not being sent to a people of unintelligible speech or difficult language, but to the house of Israel, nor to many peoples of unintelligible speech or difficult language, whose words you cannot understand. But I have sent you to them, who should listen to you. Yet the house of Israel will not be willing to listen to you, since they're not willing to listen to me. Surely the whole house of Israel is stubborn and obstinate. Behold, I've made your face as hard as their faces, and your forehead as hard as their foreheads. Like emery harder than flint, I've made your forehead. Do not be afraid of them or be dismayed before them, though they are a rebellious house. Moreover, he said to me, Son of man, take into your heart all my words which I shall speak to you, and listen closely. And go to the exiles, to the sons of your people, and speak to them, and tell them whether they listen or not. Thus says the Lord God. Then the Spirit lifted me up, and I heard a great rumbling sound behind me. Blessed be the glory of the Lord in his place. And I heard the sound of the wings of the living beings touching one another, and the sound of the wheels beside them, even a great rumbling sound. So the Spirit lifted me up and took me away, and I went embittered in the rage of my spirit, and the hand of the Lord was strong on me. Then I came to the exiles who lived beside the river Shebar at Tel Abib, and I sat there for 7 days where they were living, causing consternation among them. That seems like a lot, but it's really a flow here, as we're going to see. It's the last portion of his calling, at least in this portion, where he's told what to do. We're going to see that. And in this portion, we're going to see, I believe, what obedience looks like. Because I don't think people really understand at times what true obedience looks like. People obey what they want to obey. They obey. They think they're obeying. They say, Lord, Lord, I'm doing all this stuff for you. I'm obeying you. But are they really obeying him? We're going to see what real obedience is. Notice, first of all, obedience begins with listening to the word with the intent of obeying. And here, Ezekiel's commanded to listen to the word, unlike the rebels who don't listen. Unlike them. Chapter 2, verse 8, Now you, son of man, listen to what I am speaking to you. Do not be rebellious like that rebellious house. Open your mouth and eat what I am giving you. So again, our text begins with this phrase, son of man. He says, now you, son of man. You could translate it, and you, son of man, or but you, son of man. We saw this term, son of man, Ben Adam, speaks of humanity. Speaks of the frailty of mankind. We're but dust. It's used to speak of Ezekiel over 80 times. And the amazing thing is that God, the Son, took on human flesh, the Lord Jesus. And he was called the Son of Man, fully man, but yet fully God. He became like us, frail human humanity, yet without sin, depending on the Father completely. And so here, remember, Ezekiel is reminded he's the Son of Man and God is on the throne. To serve the Lord, we got to get that right. We're not on the throne. We're not leading, in a sense. We're not deciding what we do. We are his people doing what he calls us to do. He is on the throne. How arrogant to think we can do anything other than what he tells us to do in his word. When we do anything other than that, it is pure pride and arrogance and sin. God has clearly relayed how we are to serve him. He's clearly relayed how we are to use the gifts that we have been given. And we are simply frail human beings that need to rely on him 100%. And so here, he says, son of man. And he says, or but you, son of man, which implies a contrast to what was spoken beforehand. Remember, he had just shared to take the word to the exiles, but they weren't going to listen because they're rebellious. But you, Ezekiel, not like them, you listen, right? Don't be like them who don't listen. Be like those who listen. Listen, Ezekiel. Now you, son of man, listen to what I am speaking to you. Do not be rebellious like that rebellious house. The implication is you need to listen. Not like they listen. They don't listen at all, even though they say they're listening. They don't listen. They don't listen because they don't obey, as we'll say. Now, this word listen here is a familiar word, shema. Often it's translated obey. And we understand that. When you say to your children, listen to me, go take the trash, you're saying obey what I'm saying. It's implied in there, right? And God is saying that here. Don't be like that rebellious house. It's strengthened, right? Listen, but don't be like them. Don't be like Israel, right? Now, what does he mean by how Israel was in rebellion? Well, they didn't listen to the Lord. Look at chapter 3, verse 4. Then he said to me, son of man, go to the house of Israel, speak my words to them, for you are not being sent to a people of unintelligible speech or difficult language, but to the house of Israel, nor to many peoples of unintelligible speech or difficult language, whose words you can understand. But I have sent you to them who should listen to you. Hey, they're naming the name of the Lord. You know, the people say, hey, I'm a Christian. Well, they should want to listen to God's word, right? A lot of people that say they're Christians don't want to have anything to do with God's word. They want the show on Sundays. They want the ear tickling, right? Just like Israel here. They should want to listen. They claim to be God's people. But he says, I have sent you to them who should listen to you, yet the house of Israel, verse 7, chapter 3, will not be willing to listen to you, and here's why. Since they are not willing to listen to me. Surely the whole house of Israel is stubborn and obstinate. You know, when people don't want to hear the word of God, and it's hard on those who are teaching and preaching when people reject it, but we need to not take it personally. Because it's a rejection of the Lord, not a rejection of the person bringing forth the word. He says, if they're not willing to listen to you, it's because they don't listen to me. Notice in Jeremiah chapter 29, let's turn there. Jeremiah 29, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, chapter 29, verse 18. And this has to do with the Lord declaring what he's going to do to Judah because of what they've done. He's going to explain why. Jeremiah 29, 18. And I will pursue them, Jeremiah 29, 18, with the sword, with famine, with pestilence, and I will make them a terror to all the kingdoms of the earth, to be a curse and a horror and a hissing and a reproach among all the nations where I have driven them, because they have not listened to my words, declares the Lord, which I sent to them again and again, by my servants, the prophets, but you did not listen, declares the Lord. You therefore hear the word of the Lord, and all you exiles whom I have sent away from Jerusalem to Babylon. They wouldn't listen to God's word. They wouldn't listen. And he's saying, Ezekiel, listen. Don't be like the rebellious house. They don't listen, but you listen. And if you want to serve the Lord, listen to his word. Don't be like those who are rebellious who don't listen. They claim his name, they say it all day long, and yet they don't listen to his word so as to obey it. Don't be like them. So the Lord God is on the throne commanding Ezekiel to listen to him and thus obey and not be like those who are unwilling to listen. Okay. Now you, son of man, verse 8, chapter 2, listen to what I'm saying to you and do not be like that rebellious house. Let me ask you this. Do you come to the word of God? Do you come to obey what you hear with the intent to obey the word of God? One thing that helps us see things rightly is seeing the Lord on the throne and recognizing we are frail and we are not capable. You know, we're to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. You know, in Philippians, Paul says it this way, so, my beloved, just as you have always obeyed, that's really what it is, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. There's a reverence for the God who is at work in you. Phobos and traumas, because God is at work in you. So obey. I mentioned this earlier. I read it in Matthew chapter 7. But there are those who hear God's word. They hear his word. And now there's two possible responses. Those who hear it and do it, and those who hear it and do not do it. Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and in your name cast out many demons and in your name perform many miracles? We obeyed you. Well, that's what they're saying, basically. We did your work. And then I will declare to them, this is the Lord Jesus speaking, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Therefore, this is the conclusion of the Sermon on the Mount. The teaching on the Mount. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine, that's Jesus' word, and acts upon them or literally does them. You got to be changed. You have to have a changed heart to do God's word. Okay? And he says here, may be compared to a wise man who built his house upon the rock, and the rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew, burst against that house, and yet it did not fall, for it had been founded on the rock. You're going to stand up eternally no matter how bad the storms get. And they said here, and everyone who hears these words, hey, these are people at church. They're hearing God's word. They're claiming to be believers. They're here. They're claiming to be Israelites, trusting the Lord, supposedly. Hears his words and does not act upon them. The Lord Jesus had just made it clear who were truly blessed. the poor in spirit, those who were spiritually bankrupt, those who had the character of Christ through faith in him, and those who were not to be like those who were the phonies. Hear his word, right? So then, there's a real problem out there. There's a real problem with people who hear God's word and don't obey. The Lord has a lot to say about it. In James chapter 1, he says, prove yourselves doers of the word, verse 22, and not merely hearers who delude themselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks at his natural face in the mirror, and once he's looked at himself and gone away, he's immediately forgotten what type of person he is. The illustration is, when God's word shows you where you're wrong, shows you who kicked your sin, there should be a change. There should be a desire to confess and get right with the Lord. But these people, they see it, and then they walk away, and they forget who they really are. They forget. He has immediately forgotten what kind of person he was, but the one who looks intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty, that's the word of God, and abides by it, not having become a forgetful hearer, but an effectual doer, this man shall be blessed in what he does. You see, before you knew the Lord, you couldn't obey God. And when you received the Lord Jesus Christ, you received his spirit and a new heart and an ability to obey God's word and see things differently, a willingness to be convicted by the Spirit of God and do what's right. And there are those who think they know the Lord who hear his word, but they don't because they don't obey the Lord. So then, we need to confess sin. We need to get right with the Lord before we can obey. We need to receive his word implanted. Now, in our passage, let's go back to Ezekiel chapter 2. We're going to see that the Lord gives Ezekiel now an illustration in real time of what it's like to consume the word of God. Literally, as we're going to see. Okay? He says here, now you son of man, verse 8, listen to what I'm speaking to you, and do not be rebellious like that rebellious house. Open your mouth and eat what I'm giving to you. This is God on the throne directing everything. He's talking to Ezekiel. He's had him stand up. And he's saying, open your mouth and eat what I'm giving to you. Then I looked, verse 9, behold, a hand was extended to me, and lo, a scroll was in it. And when he had spread it out before me, it was written on front and back, and written on it were lamentations, mourning, and woe. Then he said to me, son of man, eat what you find, eat this scroll, and go speak to the house of Israel. So the first thing I think we're going to see about obedience is we need to be those who open our hearts to the word of God. We need to open our hearts to it. He says, open your mouth. This is an illustration. The word is like food for us. It's our spiritual food. And when you open your mouth, you're receiving that food, okay? And open your hearts.
If you've just tuned in, you're listening to Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt. And Greg's message today is from his series in the book of Ezekiel. Now, you can hear today's message again by visiting our website, etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. CDs of today's message or other messages are available at our website as well. And as a part of the ministry of Equipping the Saints, all our audio resources are available at no cost to you. Thanks to the Lord's provision through the faithful support of friends of this broadcast. To order your complimentary CD, call us toll-free, 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Greg, as we wrap up today's broadcast, give me some ways to begin to apply this message to my life today.
Well, Dave, as we've just begun to hear, when we come to the Word of God, we need to listen with the intent of obeying. It's God's Word, and we need to see it as such, and we need to be ready to obey, desiring to obey, desiring to do what God says. You see, we need a right heart, and that right heart will only come in the context of the forgiveness of sins that is in Jesus Christ. If you got any sin in your life, as the word convicts you, confess it. And as you come to the word of God, make sure your heart is clean so that you can receive his word and do what he says. Well, we just started our look at obedience. So join with us tomorrow as we continue our look at Ezekiel chapter 2.
As we close today's broadcast, here's an important message from our teacher, Greg Lundstedt.
Hi, this is Greg Lundstedt, and it is my great privilege to study and teach the Word of God and to share it with you each day on this radio station. And as you listen, I want to ask you this question. Has equipping the saints been a blessing to you? If so, would you prayerfully consider coming alongside us financially? You see, your financial partnership with us is so appreciated. So on behalf of the team here at Equipping the Saints, we want to praise our Lord and thank you for your prayers and financial support.
Well, thanks, Greg. Now, to partner with us, call us toll-free 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. Or if you prefer to send a gift online, our web address is etsradio.org. Well, we hope you make plans to join us again right here for another edition of Equipping the Saints.